B-Pod Studios.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
Mike Missinelli. 97.5 FM, Philly's first FM sports station.
We on an uneven playing field, top of the totem pole. 97.5, Mike Missinelli Show.
Si, senor, we numero uno. And internationally large, just like the sumo. 2-6, Monday to TGIF. Mikey misses the Philly, where Hades the wide clef. A man of the people, ambassador. Put this bull in the ring, they turn the matadors. Our competition completely non-existent. Burning up the phone lines, record number listeners. All the biggest names and the hottest topics. A runaway train in the drive time slot. It's kinda hard to stop us. On remote, standing ovation just like the opera. The best show on earth, I feel that's very proper. The most electric sports talk, ain't no need to shock ya. Turn your radios up, Mike's ready to rock.
Good afternoon, everybody. It is the Mike Missinelli Show. On a day when the season has been saved. Yes, unbelievable. The Eagles pull it off last night on a Thursday night in a game that, I gotta say, a lot of people did not think they could pull it off. And they did it in fine style. And they did it with a formula that we screamed for them to use. Now, listen, I'll give them more credit than they're going to take their cues from Sports Talk Radio. But the bottom line is they finally mobilized as a staff and did what was going to be right in that particular game. And maybe they missed the boat in the previous games by not doing it. Anyway, it's the Mike Missinelli Show. We're broadcasting from the Xfinity Studio, only from Comcast. Big win last night, so let's attack it, right? The bottom line is they win the game because they committed to the run. Ran more plays than pass plays. Now, I know a few of them were Carson Wentz scrambles, but running Jordan Howard was the ticket. And Miles Sanders woke up last night and contributed. So if they've got those two guys going, they're in pretty good shape here. This was not a game that Carson Wentz had to win on his own. And it made it a lot easier for Carson Wentz to get the ball down the field, score some touchdowns. And one of the things I said yesterday, and I had a hunch that what was going to happen is they had to get a short field or two. They got three short fields in the first half. They got the short field with the return. They got the short field with the turnover, the strip sack. And they got the short field with Dumbo kicker kicking it out of bounds. Right? So the short field really helped them last night. And the bottom line here is, and I never thought I would see it, and you can say whatever you want about the Packers being lame and trying to pass the ball all four downs, but the Eagles' defense outfoxed the great Aaron Rodgers into panic. You know, the four downs that he threw, four incompletions, were all panic throws because the defense made them react that way. The first down play was Graham was in his face, and it was incomplete because he didn't throw it high enough, and McCloud was able to defend Jimmy Graham. The second was the Graham with a rush again, and it was a panic throw to the fullback. So Brandon Graham made two good plays there. And then he rolled left, and he choked. He didn't know what to do. If he held on to the ball one more second, because Zendejo started to come towards him, one more second, that guy that Zendejo is covering clears, and he throws it, but he panicked. And he threw a bad pass to Jimmy Graham. And finally, at fourth down, the desperation toss. And it's at that point, it's not a good throw. And you're scrambling out of the pocket. And you're just hoping for something to happen. So the Eagles defense with a fantastic stand there to make the veteran quarterback who go down in history as one of the great quarterbacks of all time, made him panic. Now, did the Eagles get a little lucky? Yeah, they got a little lucky. They got the benefit of a couple calls. But they also put themselves in hot water with stupid penalties. Zach Brown with a stupid penalty. Barnett, after making a great play, makes a stupid penalty. So all that stuff kind of evens out. But in the last play, I'll be honest with you, I think they got a little lucky. The last play could have been called Craig James and an interference. An overzealous official, some overzealous officials would have made a call like that. But they didn't get the call, and that was the incompletion that won the game. They also got lucky because Davante Adams got hurt, and they couldn't use him for the final 4 minutes of the game, 5 minutes of the game. But that said, the Eagles did a nice job last night, and now they have finally found something. And I was thinking as I was watching this game last night, I go, what the hell? I gave these guys the benefit of the doubt about not running Jordan Howard, saying, well, there must be something they're seeing in Jordan Howard they don't like. Well, all of a sudden last night, I go, well, what did they see they did not like? So it's like coaching malpractice that they didn't run the ball in the first couple of games and utilize his strengths, which made Miles Sanders a little better, which took a little heat off of Carson Wentz, which alleviated the need for the great weapons. So there you go, Tyrone. And you watched the game last night. What was your opinion?
Yeah, I feel like the Eagles just went and took that football game.
They did.
And the luck, it all evens out. The Eagles were extremely unlucky with injuries in that Atlanta game.
Yeah.
Now you get it all back with Green Bay. It all evens out over the course of a season.
It does, but you have to admit, they did get a break when Adams went out of games, but he was killing them.
Yeah, but that doesn't matter. You brought up the refs, and you tell me I'm not allowed to bring up refs. You brought up refs in the first five minutes of the show.
Just said,
that's a complete violation on you,
no,
Michael.
No, it's not a violation.
Michael, you brought up the refs.
First of all, listen, they got a break that not being called. I'll tell you like exactly what it was. And they got a break with the Maddox interference call that was somehow looked at on tape.
When Miles Sanders got his head screwed off and they didn't call it, the other team did a break. These things happen.
All right.
The Eagles took that game. And when it came down to it, Carson Wentz made zero big mistakes.
Yes, he did.
And Aaron Rodgers made two big mistakes.
It was a big win for him because they listened and they actually extrapolated the data on what was going to be best for this team in that particular game. And the only thing I say is, well, you could have used some of that in previous losses. I don't understand. Like
the Atlanta game especially, you lose all those guys early. Why didn't you just run the ball against the Falcons?
I don't know. Why don't you run the ball when you're lacking weapons? See, all those things I go, does this coaching staff really know what they're doing? Now, they did last night, but I was on their side saying, well, all right, well, I don't see Jordan Howard 6 days a week. They do. So there must be some reason why they used Jordan Howard. Well, last night I didn't see any reason why they couldn't have used Jordan Howard earlier. But that's beside the point. They look forward now. They look ahead. And so here they are. They've righted the ship a little bit, but they still have some problems. The secondary is a major problem. They got it out of there going, whoosh, we win that game. And look, we're down bare bones. Sidney Jones hurt again. Maddox will be out. I mean, I don't know what they're going to do at this point. Rasul Douglas, he made like one play the whole night. So they're still in trouble back there, which it's an immediate need to go out and trade for Jalen Ramsey. And now the price has just been hiked up for the Eagles. So I don't know what they're going to do here.
They have to get it done. And the other part, if they can get through, well, next week's like a bye almost, playing the Jets. That's almost like a bye. Then you have to get through Minnesota. Now you're getting close to Mills being back. And I know that's not normally a huge deal, but relative to these corners, it's a pretty big deal because, one, he actually is allowed to play physical and does do some press coverage, and he's better than what you have. And if you have Ramsey and Mills week 7 because he has to sit out the first week, think about the contrast between what you had last night and then having Jalen Ramsey and Mills week 7. You'll be able to, for that meat of the schedule when it gets really tough, you could have arguably one of the better tandems because Mills is a solid guy and Ramsey's a great guy in the whole league versus right now you got slot.
Yeah, well, we'll see what they do. But, you know, that's down the road. And right now we'll just talk about what you saw last night. And it was an unlikely win. The Packers get down there twice and you're going, oh, well. It really was weird. And I know a lot of people have problems with Doug Peterson going for two there. I did not have a problem with that.
Really?
Yeah, and here's why.
The analytics say to go for two there.
Yeah, they do, but sensibly, you can look at it this way. If you go for two there, you make it a two-possession game. If you don't get it, it's still a one-possession game. If you kick the point, it's still a one-possession game. So I know 8 points is harder to score than 7, but it doesn't take you out of trouble if you just score the 8. And if you don't get the just say you don't get the conversion, well, 7 points, they're not going to go for two to beat you anyway. So they would have to go for two to tie you, which people go for two all the time. But if you get the two, now they have to score twice. So I didn't have a real problem with it.
The math says 0.97 on a kick as far as points, and 1.71 going for two. Because generally, when you go for two, you kind of get it somewhere in that range, right, Tyler? You have that math?
Yeah, it's something along those lines.
So the analytics say every time in that spot to go for it. Basically, yeah, your reward is twice as good. Yeah,
I really didn't have a problem with it because the Packers are going to have to score a touchdown. If it's 8, they're going to have to go for 2, which they could get. It's not impossible. But if you get the 2 there, they have to score twice. So I didn't have a problem with that with Doug Peterson. And speaking of Tyler Zuli is in today making his TV debut.
Well, you know, I was on with Anthony. It's my TV debut with you, though. So it's my first chance to be with you.
When was Anthony on TV?
When you were out a couple weeks ago.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that. During the South. So this is not your TV day.
It's my chance to join you for the first time.
All right, so first time Zuli. And here's the thing about Zuli. He's picking he's making my picks today. So we're putting the young lad at work right away because I am in a terrible slump. I have no business picking anything this weekend. So we're going to see if I can sit on the dugout and watch the games played and then just settle myself down.
Now, Tyler, if he goes 3-0, it does count for you, Mike. If he goes 0-3.
If he goes 3-0, he's picking next week.
Oh, he comes back again.
What do you think? I'm going to mess up a streak?
Whatever his record is, counts as your record.
It's like me getting 3 hits with a certain pair of socks
on. You got to bring back those
socks. I'm coming right back with them.
You know, speaking of superstition baseball, 40 years, 5-game sweep. I know it's not a big topic, but 5-game sweep, like how's that happen?
Did the Phillies lose 5 in a row?
Yes, 5-game sweep. I cannot, but 40 years this happened. 40 years, Mike.
Vargy did not beat Strasburg?
No.
Seriously?
No.
That's almost impossible to believe. All right, we'll talk Eagles. 610-632-0975 is how you get in. It is the Mike Mussinelli Show. It's 97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philly. Talking about the big win that salvages the season. Back after this.
The Mike Mussinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
It is the 2 o'clock hour of the Mike Mussinelli Show, and the 2 o'clock hour is brought to us by Ferguson HVAC, Lion Conklin, HVAC contractors. Attention, Ferguson's counter location on North 7th Street has equipment, parts, and supplies for every heating and cooling job, so check it out. Let's start our Twitter poll, brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Sons. Attention all landscapers. If you're looking to repower a zero-turn or a walk-behind mower, Moyer has the best deals around for an engine replacement in stock. Visit paulbmoyer.com for details. Tyler Zuli in the house. Tyler.
Thank you, Mike. So we're asking our listeners to be honest today. Did you believe the Eagles had a chance after falling behind 10-0 last night? Just over 600 votes, 46% say yes, 38% say no, and 16% say no, but they're not willing to admit it.
All righty. Thank you very much. By the way, what is the stat that it's Aaron Rodgers never lost. It's the first time he's given up.
I'll tell you the stat. He was at home with a 10-point lead at any point in the game.
Yes.
He was 58-0-1.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Until last night.
58-0-1 with a 10-point lead at home.
Until last night.
And he also became the only quarterback with an incompletion on 4 straight plays from the 1-yard line on a single drive in the last 40 seasons.
How's that possible?
I don't know.
Oh, here's another thing, Mike. Can you explain this to me? They bring in the fullback. And I was talking to Tyler. He was with me during the green zone.
Mm-hmm.
So we're saying many times the fullback is not necessarily a natural pass catcher.
Mm-hmm.
They're more of a blocker. Why did they go with the fullback for all 4 plays if they were just going to pass all 4 times?
They were trying to show the Eagles a formation where they thought they were going to run the ball in hopes that would spring a receiver.
But it turned out they needed an extra natural receiver into the pattern.
Well, yeah, they did. They were trying to outsmart the Eagles, and they wound up outsmarting themselves.
Yeah, like put a double tight end because that tight end's natural pass catcher.
They did have double tight end in there.
Oh, and the fullback, right. They would jump up.
And they put a tackle in there on one play. So they set up a complete run scheme to try to fool what the Eagles were doing. And the Eagles weren't fooled.
That was a great job by the defense, like you said. That was the game right there in hindsight. Because the Eagles, and then they think, oh, they'll stop them at the 1. The Eagles got the ball all the way back to midfield and made them have to drive once again from like their own 11 now, to get that last score.
We had Hembo on. We talked about the success of the potential wheel route.
Yes.
Because you get the Green Bay linebackers in covers, and they were horrendous. And they did that with Jordan Howard on the wheel route. Blake Martinez, we specifically talked about being inept at that route, was inept.
Completely inept. And then he just catches it and then walks in like no one was near. Yeah.
Wow, there you go. That's a big win. Let's go to Eric in Long Island. Eric, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Eric.
You know, Mike, before I get to the defense and Doug, let's just wish Miss Natalie a happy birthday, you know, the legend over there. So
yes, Natalie is off for her birthday today after doing Birds Outsiders last night. She slept in and is doing, well, I don't know what she's doing today for her birthday. She's going to the zoo, I think. Yes.
Good for her, Mike.
Yes.
Real quick, three points I want to make. You know, today's the day to give credit, not bury these corners because, you know, God knows they're awful. We all know that. But you got to give this defense credit in the sense that 7 trips inside the red zone, only 3 touchdowns. To me, the 7-minute mark of the second quarter, from the time that quarter began to about 7 minutes to go, that's 7-8 minutes, you know, holding them to a field goal to make it 10-0 and then getting the kick return by Sanders, in a blink of an eye, you're down 10-7. Green Bay comes down the field. The defense again holds to make it 13-7.
Mm-hmm.
Kick off out of bounds. And before you know it, as bad as the Eagles looked for that first quarter, the game settles in, and somehow they have a 14-13 lead. To me, that 7-minute mark in the second quarter was real big in this game. It gave the team confidence and belief that they can win it. Now, two points I want to make on Doug. I hated the fact that he went for 2 in the third quarter. I mean, listen, this is Aaron Rodgers on the other hand. At the end of the game, okay, there's no doubt in my mind, if Matt LaFleur and the Packers get that touchdown, the polls in 34-33, they were going for the win in regulation. If we would have lost this game 35-34.
There is no way that they would go for a win in regulation.
The way that Eagles...
And they're at home. They're not going for a win in regulation at home. Come on, man.
I don't know.
What is it? This is in college? What do you think? Is Georgia State trying to upset Alabama?
We could debate that. Now,
pro teams never do that. Stop it. When have you ever seen a pro team try to win a game unless they're outmanned?
It's a good point. I'll think about that.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway, the second point I want to make about Doug, and I know Ty will agree with me because I saw him say this on Twitter right afterwards. At 2nd and 5 at midfield with about 5 minutes to go, they had 2 plays there. You know, they threw a second down pass. If Jordan Howard could pick up another first down, they were 15 yards away from making that a 2-score lead. I hated the 2 play calls that allowed Green Bay to get that ball back. And Ty was right on that on Twitter, and I responded to him. So that, you know,
guess what? They don't matter now. It doesn't matter. The only thing that matters, if you want to look back at something, is that this coaching staff stubbornly did not run the football with a lack of weapons, conning me into thinking, the guy must not be any good. I took their word for it. And what I saw last night was the exact opposite. So that's almost malpractice not running the ball.
Right. Now, Vales make the argument, you're right, that the offensive line, everybody was feeling spry. Peters didn't come out of the game, and they were able to get on their men a little bit better this week, and they didn't pass block as a run block as well the previous week. That's what the coaching staff would say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but they didn't even try it. They committed to this plan. Now, if you look at all the analytics, all the numbers, it would tell you have to commit to the plan. But it's kind of the same thing in every game. If you've got a lack of weapons, especially if you have a lack of weapons, the plan B is, all right, you power run it for a while. Make it easier on your quarterback because he's not going to find many open guys with inferior weapons. It's only logical. Now, I don't understand why coaching staffs aren't that logical sometimes.
You're right. They're stubborn. They're stubborn to a fault, football coaches. A lot of coaches in all sports other than baseball.
610-632-0975. Just so we can clear this thing up here. They go for 2. To make it a 9-point game. That's why they go for 2. It's not, that's okay thinking. Because if they don't get it, they're just up by 7. And 7, they're not going to get a 2-point conversion to win the game. The best they can do at that point is tie the game anyway. They're not going for 2. So there's like very little harm in going for the 2-point conversion there to make it a 9-point game. And I'll be the first to rip into him for doing like gambling stuff.
I was a hypocrite because in real time, I defended it. I said the analytics say go for it. Go. I then after it didn't work and the game got close, then I flip-flopped. And that was my own fault. Well, I was a complete hypocrite. I was.
Well, forget the analytics. Football sense tells you.
Get up by two scores.
Get up by two scores.
Yeah, and I agree with it in real time.
Because if you go up by seven or eight, the other team can still tie it.
Yeah. And after the game, Doug defended. He said if it, in that spot, he would do it every time.
Yeah, and he's right.
Every time
he's right in that spot. There are times when he's not right. That was a right spot where he was right. Yeah. And, people are ripping it. I'm going, well, it's not rippable. Gene in Doylestown. Gene, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Gene.
Good afternoon, Michael. How are you?
What's up, Gene?
I am in a great mood.
I can see why. You stayed up a little late, watched the game.
Yeah, and woke up feeling fine.
Let me ask you a question. When you watch a game like that, because I can't get to sleep right away. I know it's late. And a finish like that jacks me up for like another hour before I can even fall asleep.
I know. I felt like I was drinking coffee, honest to God.
Yeah, it does that. It really stirs your psyche to the point where you just can't hit the pillow and go out.
No, I couldn't. I think it was 1:30 before I finally got to sleep, to be honest with you. But I agreed with Doug going for two. I loved it. I thought it was the right move. Of course, you know, you're going to get everybody that says he shouldn't have done it because he didn't make it. But, you know, they go for two and they make it there. And all of a sudden, we're not holding our breath at the end of the game.
You're already in safe land when you go for two. Like, you're not in trouble land. You're up seven, right?
Exactly.
So really, you don't have anything to lose, really, in that spot.
I know you guys couldn't hear me, but I'm sitting in my living room yelling, go for two, go for two.
Yeah, it was very logical that he would go for two there.
To me, it was. And I got to give props to Rasul Douglas, who, you know, has been playing good football the last 3 weeks. I mean, he's not the answer to our problems, but he's been playing very good football. And I'm happy to see him doing well and you know, holding down his side of the field. The thing that bothers me, though, is how much this game is kind of changing in that, you know, Woody Hayes said it 100 years ago. You know, you pass the ball, and only three things can happen, and two of them are bad. Mm-hmm. Well, that's not the case anymore. They're throwing up passes now, hoping for that PI flag. And, mm-hmm. and it's insane to me. I mean, as a defensive back, what are you supposed to do? What are you allowed to do? What mm-hmm. are you not allowed to do? Because it seems very subjective. Like you said, an uptight ref could have threw a flag on that play at the end of the game. Thank God he didn't, but... You know, it's like every pass play, you're holding your breath going, where's the flag, where's the flag, where's mm-hmm. the flag?
Yeah.
And, you know, to me, it's taken away from the game, if you ask me. But, you know, that's just one man's opinion.
Yeah, I got you. Listen, I don't get involved in the officials and blame them for deciding the game one way or the other. I just merely mentioned that I thought maybe the Eagles got lucky that one of those officials didn't throw a flag. That would have taken away the interception that wins the game. In a situation like that, where an official actually makes a call that wins or loses a game for somebody, then it's worth scrutiny.
Okay.
That's what I'm looking at. If they would have taken away that touchdown, I mean, that interception, how would you have felt? That decides the game right there.
It could have. They were down. Now, the one odd thing, they were very nonchalant getting to the line of scrimmage. Mm-hmm. They would have been under 20 seconds there, and they had struggled on the goal line a lot. So
Yeah, but it still would have given them another
shot, for sure. Yes. No, it would have been first and goal. You're right,
right
there.
First and goal closer.
But I'm not sure they would have gotten in. They were very – they mismanaged Rodgers and that head coach. They had two timeouts, and they let it run from about a minute or so, 101 or so, down to like 20 seconds before they used the entire clock. It was odd.
Yeah.
How they
Now, let me take it back to another spot. Because I don't know how these people in New York decide what they see. And be honest with me. The Maddox pass interference was blatantly obvious.
I didn't think so.
You didn't think so?
In real time, I did not think so because...
When you look at the replay, forget the real time because it's being reviewed in slow motion.
The Packers player did hand fighting first. And apparently, the way they look at it, if you touch the defender first, they don't overturn it.
Okay, he was face guarding him. He didn't turn his head around. He plowed into
him.
That was a clear pass interference that I thought they got away with.
Nah, I didn't. Now, the one I thought was Doug, I don't know what the heck Doug was thinking. Alshon admits that he lost it in the lights, and then he still throws the flag for him.
He pointed to his eyes.
He said he didn't see it. Yeah. That was a 50-50 ball that he probably could have caught if he saw the ball, and I don't know why Doug threw the challenge flag there.
Yeah, that was a waste.
That didn't make sense to me.
Yeah, like for instance, Doug Peterson makes a stupid move when he goes for it on 4th and 8 at his own 20 with 3 timeouts left and 3-plus minutes to go. That's stupid.
Yes.
Him going for the 2-point conversion there is not stupid.
No.
All right. Let's go Sean in Texas. Sean, what's up?
How you doing, sir?
Good. What's up, Tough Sean?
All I want to say is thank God for Pete Carroll. I mean, Matt LaFleur. Excuse me. I slipped up there. But was I the only person freaking out last night when Bradham's running down the sideline and I see that receiver just hauling in on him? I thought he was going to fumble the ball.
Tried to strip him. Yep.
I was losing it. But
That's why. Who was it that was saying? Was it McLeod that was saying, get down, get down, get down to Bradham in the end zone? And he ignored him.
Yeah. Yeah. But there's a lot of things, obviously, we did right last night with the running game and, Wentz only needing to put up 160, especially with field position. But I like to look at the other side of it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, penalties was killing us last night. I think I have, 9 penalties for 93 yards.
Yeah, bad spots, too. And stupid penalties. Like late hit, the targeting, all that kind of stuff. And I tell you, Barnett's lucky he didn't get thrown out of the game for that. That's another lucky part of it.
But,
see, I don't know. That's another, they're looking at the replay in New York. Like, what are you seeing there? And when it worked out for the Eagles, don't get me wrong, I'm not bitching and moaning here. But what are you seeing when you said, if that's not a clear ejection, I don't know what is.
After the call, I'll tell you what Schefter said.
Okay. All right.
Because that was absolutely after the whistle, too. Correct me if I'm wrong. I might have been listening to it differently on TV, but he hit him after the whistle, right?
Yeah, it was a major blow. So, it's very subjective, and they decided to not throw him out, which benefited the Eagles.
But then I think the most egregious penalty last night was the one where I think it was Hill jumped off sides, and they got that free play, and then they turned that into, a 40-yard gain off a ridiculous face mask?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Maddox, I can say this now because he's not hurt, but I think just for precautionary reasons, he should never step onto the field again. That dude has no idea how to turn his head around.
It's tough to rip a guy who got hurt and carried off the field. But he was scrambling around like he had no idea what to do out there. He really, and he's not really a corner.
He's a safety.
Yeah, or he's a slot guy. He can't play on the outside of anybody.
He was getting turned around.
He was scared to death by Adams. You could tell. He was just, he got turned around. He was trying to backpedal. He was trying to get, he didn't know whether to come up, whether he didn't want to get beat. He very insecure player.
You're absolutely right. Now, according to Schefter, now, I agree with you. In real time, I think I texted you. He should have got thrown out.
Yeah.
I think Barnett should have been ejected for that hit.
Mm-hmm.
But according to the league, they think that at the last moment, his shoulder was first to hit him, not his helmet.
Okay.
And that is why they believe that's why he wasn't ejected. They say it may be a fine. It's not a lock. And there's no way he will be suspended because the league determined that at the last second, his shoulder made first contact, not helmet contact. That's what they said.
Well, and that's all well and good.
It's
possible subjectively they were influenced by the fact that it's a Thursday night game and it's not good form to throw a good player out of a game.
Especially that early.
That could have influenced it subconsciously.
The first drive.
Yeah. Sam in Northern Liberties. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Sam.
What's up, guys? How are you
doing? What's going on, Sam?
Not much, man. I'm just so ecstatic, so happy. Obviously, there's some stuff to nitpick about, but that's not my style. I'm just here to celebrate. Epic win. Much needed. Carson Wentz was playing with the swagger that I felt like I hadn't seen in him in a while. Even on the plays where, like the one where Alshon dropped it in the light, he kind of just like shook his head, was like, let's get it in the next play. And they got it. Big third down conversion there. Want to give a shout out to the offensive line, who came up huge. I don't think there was a single offensive holding penalty, which has been killing us this year. killing us, the holding penalty.
They did, but you give them the tools to succeed by saying, all right, boys, we're going to power through this game. You know, guys like that every now and then. They like to go forward instead of backpedaling.
Yep. I didn't play line, but I feel like it has to give them some confidence when they blow them off the line on a couple power runs.
Yeah, because they can road grade people. There's nothing better for a 350-pound guy to road grade some defensive lineman.
Absolutely. I mean, that was a dogfight last night. I mean, we got punched in the face early, and then we scored four straight touchdowns. It was like our offense was clicking like I haven't seen in a long time.
Yes. And like I said before, short fields helped. They had to get some short field last night. They got three of them on three touchdowns.
Yeah, and for the Twitter question, when we went down 10-0, I was worried, but Sanders had that return so fast that you could start to feel the tide shifting a little bit.
How about this? How about the personal opinion of Miles Sanders shifting last night? All of a sudden, he can play.
He ran hard yesterday. He hit holes inside yesterday, and I still think over the long haul, he's going to end up with more touches because he's. Even the one that Howard caught, in my mind, it didn't look natural for him to catch it. Like, the touchdown, it didn't look like the catch was natural. Sanders showed something, but he still made a big mistake that Brian brought up to us on Friday. A couple times in between the tackles, he still only had one hand on it.
Yeah.
And I was worried. I thought he was going to fumble.
Yes. And the defensive line, I thought, listen, their numbers, they don't have big sack numbers. They got the one strip sack, right? But they were playing hard all game long. They really were playing hard. They were getting pressure. They were busting that offensive line up a little bit and making him think.
You're right, and he had to roll a lot. If that was like a lesser quarterback or one that didn't move, like even if it was Tom Brady or even Stafford last week, if they had played the same way, they would have got multiple sacks because he rolled and made, and in those runs he had, that just shows you how great he is.
I never thought I would see the day when he would choke. But that play where he rolled left and bailed out on the throw, he went humming, 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 he choked.
You're right.
I've never seen anything like that with Aaron Rodgers. All he has to do is hold on over a second. He's there. He sees Zendejo's coming. All right, okie doke.
Right,
then
you just drop it right over.
Zendejo takes two steps. He's got that guy open. All right, let's go Kyle and Lansdale. Kyle, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Kyle. What's up, Kyle? Kyle not there. All right, let's go to Eric. In Central Jersey, Eric.
What's going on, guys?
What's up, man? How you doing, Eric?
Great win. Very little sleep. Getting out of work now. I think I might have slept about an hour. And like you were saying before, I mean, that game had me pumped up. I could have ran around the block 50 times after that game.
Yeah, it's really tough to just hit the hay after a game like that.
But as I say, obviously all the points that have been made, the offensive line blowing them up, the running game, everything really looked good yesterday. The only thing I got to say, though, is I got to disagree with you on two points, Mike.
Mm-hmm.
The one is the pass interference call and the review. Now, from what I've heard and everything like that, the league is kind of doing this to appease this whole new throwing a challenge flag for it. But at real time, when you watch that play and then compare, I mean, if you slow down any play in the NFL, you could find a penalty.
Yeah, but it's not in real time. So real time doesn't really matter. They're reviewing it. There's a guy in New York reviewing that. Now, everybody that's doing the broadcast is saying, oh, that's blatant. And what's the name? The official is saying that's a blatant pass interference. It was blatant. To admit that.
What did you think about the Alshon one when the guy hit his hand away from the ball?
No, that's minor. There. That's just like a hand in there. Maddox ran into him.
And the other thing real quick before I go is, in my mind, I know you say no way, NFL, this and that. The arrogance of Aaron Rodgers, the crowd behind him,
no.
He would have looked to the sideline.
There is absolutely no way that the Green Bay Packers at home would go for 2 points and risk losing the game. There's just no way. It wouldn't happen. Denver did it earlier this year. They're going for an upset against the Bears.
And Jacksonville did it.
Jacksonville. Lesser teams, just to pull an upset. Green Bay knows they had the advantage in an overtime. It's home.
Yeah,
there's no way
you
do that.
I think they would have went to overtime.
Yeah, there's no way.
And they know if they got the ball, they'd score.
If you're a lesser team and you know your team's got nothing left, you want to take a shot, it doesn't matter if you lose. Green Bay's undefeated. They're not going to risk losing there. 610-632-0975. Mike Masnelli Show, 97.5 The Fanatic.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Fanatic.
247, Mike Missinelli Show. This guy on email is very cheesed at something that happened last night. And he's calling the Green Bay, Green Bay fan who did it, a D-bag.
I know what he's talking about.
And I go, all right, here's the situation. Goddard gets the touchdown pass, leaps in, does Lambo leap in the... There were some Eagle fans in that front row. There's also a Packer fan right next to him. Packer fan pushes him out, tries to push him out. Now, to me, that's a good fan. There's nothing wrong with that. Do you mean to tell me you don't think that would have happened here? If a Green Bay Packer goes into the stands at the link and there's an Eagle fan there, what's the Eagle fan going to do? Celebrate with him? You're going to push him out. There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, I think once you go into the crowd, it's all right. Now, if that guy like had some sideline pass, let's say, and he had scored a touchdown and then he touched him, then I think that he should be arrested. But if he's in his seat and Goddard goes into the seat, I don't have an issue with
him. Push him out. He's a fan. He said, no, not my house. You're going to do this.
And he didn't pour anything on him
or something like that.
Right.
Kind of pushed him and get out of here.
Yeah, it doesn't mean you can do anything to him, but that was just a little
fan,
push.
Self-respecting Eagle fan would have done the same thing.
Right.
And that doesn't mean that we're celebrating abhorrent behavior here. It's just that was a harmless thing.
That was a minor thing. Now Bradham tried it, and they didn't let him.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Well,
after the interception, he tried it.
They should let him.
And they didn't let him.
Oh. He can't mock their own leap.
But he took it in stride. he thought it was good.
It
was a lot of Eagles fans. We got all those calls yesterday. It was a lot of Eagles fans in that
guy
game.
This guy is literally really incensed about it. I go, wait, hold on a second. You don't think that would have happened to the link? No, I don't think it would have. Wait, really?
You jump up in the crowd?
Come on, man.
We don't like that.
Of course it would have happened.
Yeah, we don't like that.
All right, let's go. Sean in Upper Darby. Sean, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Sean.
Mikey Mess.
What's up, Sean?
Listen, I am so happy today that I was so wrong. Because, I thought that game was going to go different last night, and it was awesome. You know, the outcome was great. But I agree with everything you were saying in the beginning of the show, man. Like, I still am suspect on the secondary, you know, obviously. But
let me tell you, they're in a worse situation now when it comes to that. The secondary is even more depleted now.
I know. And they got to try and get Ramsey, but I don't know. That story is just getting crazier and crazier, right? So,
well, listen, he wants out. There's no question. Now,
right.
Whether the Eagles can get him, if I'm Jacksonville, I go, oh, you got two more corners hurt last night, huh? Well, guess what it's going to cost you now? You know? Right. It's not going to make it easy for him.
Would you do something like crazy, though, for it? Like, you know, what were they saying before? They were saying like two first rounds.
I don't think they have any other choice because they're so depleted now. They will get Mills back. I got it. LeBlanc is done for a while, right? He's not coming back anytime soon.
Nah, all the extremities, that's not guaranteed yet. It might not be long term.
You're going into a really tough part of your schedule after the Jets. Yeah. And if you think you can get it done with these corners, I wouldn't be so certain about that. I would have to make that deal right now no matter what it costs.
Yeah, me too. And real quick, before I go, I just want to say, you know, Carson, I felt, was really on point last night, man. You know, he didn't have to do much, which I think is a good thing.
It was an excellent thing.
Right.
Really, because you're talking about a team now without that outside fly pattern receiver, you're going to have to do some different things. And they found last night if they could do this part of it. It makes me nuts to think they didn't think they could do it before. They lost two games because they didn't think they could run the ball.
Right. Well, yeah, thanks for taking my call. I'll talk to you guys soon.
All right, it's maddening when you think about it that way. Especially, you made me look like an idiot. Because I'm the one going, oh, they know more than me. Jordan Howard must be slow.
He looked good. And how about the all of a sudden Aguilar and no Mac, very not much Mac Hollins, no J.J. Arcega. That makes a huge difference when you're passing it to Alshon and Ertz. Like, he passed it to Alshon, Ertz, Goddard, and the backs, pretty much. And it looked completely different than when he was trying to throw to those other guys.
Let me ask you a question. Troy, you can get a Reggie White flashback last night when he was lauding Mac Hollins. Where did that come from?
I don't know. That and Sendejo, you would have thought he like
was, that a
was
flashback,
like the godfather of his kids. Yeah, I think so. He said he's had some issues.
Well, that might have been an issue. Mac Hollins, of all people.
After he ran the worst route in NFL history, he said that. The worst route yes. in NFL history.
Where he quits on the play as if he wasn't an option on the play. And gets the ball thrown to him.
It was supposed to be a back shoulder. He's like, what?
I really like that Mac Hollins. Troy, timeout. Hey, it's Mac Hollins. It's not T.O. Let's go, Joe and Broomall. Joe, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Joe.
Mr. Messinelli,
what's up, Joe? How you doing?
Okay. All right, I'm doing well.
Good.
A couple of things. First of all, I have to give you a major apology. I thought they were going to lose.
I didn't feel good about them winning either, to be honest with you. But I thought that it was one of those situations where when you least expect it, they would win a game.
Well, I wasn't watching it, but I'm going to give you guys a compliment. I went to the My Team's app, and I was looking at the statistics, and I said, I see Howard had 4 carries for 28 yards. I'm like, my God, that's 7 yards. I'm like, give this guy the ball. All of a sudden, I put on the game, and he's running the ball. I'm like, thank God. And that's why Wentz looks good. Just quick reminder, when they won the Super Bowl in the second game when they played Kansas City in a losing effort, they started running the ball. From that point on, they were on a run, and, you know, with the RPO, with Fultz and all. But they knew they had a running game. They went for it, and they won the Super Bowl. I think, hopefully, this is what's going to happen. And we follow you all the time. And me and my wife, Flo, were arguing about the Phillies pitching, on how bad they were, like you said, and about how, you know, the Eagles, you know, about running the game and all. We follow you, and you are right. Common sense stuff.
It is really a common sense stuff, especially last night. And we looked at the stats, Joe, and we said, all right, Green Bay is susceptible to the run. So if there's ever a game where you got to commit to it. But I don't get losing 2 games and staying away from the running game. I don't get that part of it.
Ray Dinger said it best. He said it, I think, after game 2. He said, they threw the ball 51 times. That's too much.
Well, especially when you consider that your weapons are depleted. So the only way to create balance is not to keep forcing with inferior weapons and hoping something miraculous is going to happen, but try the other way. Make it easier on your quarterback who doesn't have a lot of weapons by running the football. So they finally heard it, I guess. This is the type of Andy Reid maddening stuff, though. That he'll show you something, it works, and then he'll resort back to the other thing that he used to do. I hope Doug is not Andy polluted when it comes to that. 3 o'clock hour is ahead on the Mike Messinelli Show on 97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philly.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.